Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. So we'll just briefly review what we discussed in chapter 13, last few verses, last time. We discussed from 20, right, or 21st? Yeah, I think 20th. Because 19th was a summary. So 20 to 23, 3 verses, 24 verses. So any points which you know you remember or you reflected? So 20 says that both material nature and the living entities are beginningless. You know, we don't know when they are originated, but you know all the transformations which we see, like different types of bodies, everything, are because of the interaction with the modes of material nature. But actually, living entity is the same. Of course, they have individual spiritual body, but actually, everybody is Sachidananda Vigraha. That's what I'm saying. You know, that's how the learned person sees, right? Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmani Gavi Hastini. So he sees the dog, dog eater, or a pebble and a stone. Everything is same because he sees the essence. The soul, not the external manifestation, which is very different. Yeah, any points anybody remembers? Yeah, okay, so next verse 21. Yeah, next 21 talks about, you know, who is the cause for our sufferings and enjoyments.
Living entity
is the cause. Yeah. So nature, seemingly nature is cause. Nature is creating situations, but actually the living entity has originally, you know, misused the free will, and after that continuously it keeps changing its, you know, using it wrongly, and then he has to face his reactions. That 22 verse, crucial verse, is talking about the transmigration. It's saying that living entity actually transmigrates as he gives up. This is the same thing? No, it's the next verse, right? The old garments and new garments is the same verse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The first paragraph of verse says, as we give the old garments and takes up new garments, like that he gives up the old body and takes up the new body. It all happens based on the desire, right? So we discussed, even if a tinge of material desires we have to come back to the material world. That's what we discussed, you know, how important it is to, you know, clear off all the attachment we have with this material world. In this body, in this life, 23. So he's talking about the super soul. He's called transcendental enjoyer. And what is our functions? What are the functions of super soul?
Overseer.
Okay, so what does it mean, oversee? He oversees. Means basically whatever desires the living entity has, he knows everything actually. He's overseeing on top of it. And then permitter. So based on the karma, he permits certain things or he doesn't permit certain things. Right? So he's overseer and permitter. And he's the closest to the living entity. We may think sometimes we feel we are alone and all, but actually the soul, the super soul is always very next to us, which we cannot perceive and we cannot understand. Okay, so that's what is the next few verses Krishna is going to talk. How to perceive that super soul. What are different ways we can perceive that super soul who is so close to us. So text number 24, which we will discuss today, is mainly especially meant for jnanis. Okay, so this is... So what is the result obtained? Ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha sarvata vartamanopi nasa puyo vichayate. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of material nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. So here this is like, you know, kind of, even Bhagavatam talks about this. After telling some certain stories, Bhagavatam tells the results. One who hears these pastimes of Bali Maharaja, he'll attain pure devotion. One who, like so many, they are not like fruitive... Okay, some of them say like, you know, you will get all the opulence, everything. because Bhagavatam is also meant to be approached by people who have material desires. So at least by that reason they come and read and they get purified. But ultimately it always says, you know, it will get, you will get pure devotion. Many of the stories. So like that here, this is giving the, this verse is giving what is the result we get by understanding this philosophy of material nature, living entity and interaction of the modes of material nature. Like for example, the 13 chapters so far. If we understand it properly, not only understanding but realize it, then we will attain liberation actually. Then what happens after we attain liberation? We will not take birth again. This same verse Krishna says, right? Janma karma, that's the verse. One who takes, one comes to my abode but never comes back again. Which verse is that? Janma karma cha me divyam evam vidhi tatvata. Yeah, tyaktya deham punarjanma naiti mameti sarjana. One who understands my pastimes and activities will attain transcendental nature, will come to my abode and he will never take birth again. 4.8 or 9 something, that verse. 4.9 I think. Same verse, same thing again Krishna is promising. He will not take birth here again regardless of his present position. 4.9, right? Yeah. So he will not take birth here again. So he will get liberated while in this body and as well as he will not come back again. So let's read the short purport.
Clear understanding of material nature, the super soul, the individual soul and their interrelation makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By his personal endeavor in association with authorities, saintly persons and spiritual master, and a spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead. Then it is certain that he will never come again to this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for a blissful eternal life of knowledge.
So real purpose of knowledge, you know, generally we cultivate so much knowledge, right? So many programs and training, certifications, so much knowledge we cultivate. But what is the real knowledge? The real knowledge is to understand we have somehow fallen and then somehow recover ourselves by the mercy of spiritual master following the process of Krishna consciousness and rectify ourselves into the constitutional position. This reminds me of an incident, personal incident which I, you know, which I was part of. So in the, when I just, or rather when I started aspiring, after that first time we went to Vrindavan Yatra, I was not married at that time. I don't know whether I told this incident. So I went with Divya Drishti Mataji. You know, we are like so many years, long time friends. So then directly from here, I went to Delhi directly because I knew my, once going home and my parents, I don't know whether they will allow me to go alone too. It's very tough. Right? So with her directly, I went to Vrindavan. So, but what I made a plan is because my dad would not allow me to go back alone. So I said, why don't you come, stay with me 3 days and we all will go back in train. So that I thought they will get mercy of the Dham and also, you know, some association with our spiritual master and my association with devotees, some mercy will come. So like that, somehow they stayed 3 days. So luckily, you know, there was an opportunity where I could introduce our Guru Maharaj, or rather our parents to, my parents to our Guru Maharaj. So then my dad, you know, of course, you know, that's how they approach saintly people, right, to get blessings. So, of course, that's my dad's the main thing that time is to somehow get me married. That was main problem he is trying to solve that time. So he said, oh, Sadhuji, you know, she's very, you know, like, of course, he's very proud of me. So he said, oh, she's very intelligent. She all got good scores everywhere, everything, you know. Then he started going on telling. Then immediately, somehow, Maharaj stopped him and he said, yeah, I was in front of Maharaj. My mom was this side, my dad was this side. So Maharaj was looking at me and he said, yeah, you have given her material education, we will give her spiritual education. He can't relate, you know. Just, you know, I was feeling so embarrassed, you know, when in front of me he's telling so many things, right? But then he told like that. Then I understood, I felt very blessed actually, you know. Now he has taken care and to give the spiritual knowledge, whatever is, that's a real thing which is needed actually, you know. What's the use of all this? Yeah, so that's one thing, you know. So that's spiritual knowledge, you know, spiritual master has to give. No, by the mercy of association of devotees. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse, text number 25. ध्यायेनात्मनि पश्यन्ति केचित् आत्मानमात्मना अन्ये साङ्ख्येन योगेन कर्मयोगेन चापरे Some perceive the super soul within themselves through meditation, others through cultivation of the knowledge, and still others through the working without fruitive desires. So here Krishna is talking about how to realize that super soul who is with us as a transcendental enjoyer. And he is talking about there are different ways people, there are different ways in which they can realize. One is, the first one is through meditation. So this is nothing but the yoga, Ashtanga yoga. Second one is cultivation of knowledge is Sankhya or Jnana, Jnana yoga. And then last one is working without fruitive results is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So these are three ways one can actually realize super soul within. So this purport is a little bit technical. So we'll just jump to the section where how Prabhupada explains how these three people actually end up realizing the super soul. So we'll read like in the middle of first paragraph. Of course, there are those who try to understand Supreme Absolute Truth.
Supreme Absolute Truth by cultivation of knowledge, and they can be counted in the class of the faithful. The Sankhya philosophers analyze this material world into 24 elements, and they place the individual soul as the 25th item. When they are able to understand the nature of the individual soul to be transcendental to the material elements, they are able to understand also that above the individual soul there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the 26th element. Thus gradually they also come to the standard of devotional service in Krishna consciousness.
Okay, so let's understand. So Sankhya yogis, how will they realize this? They analyze the 24 basic material elements we discussed, right? The 5 working senses, 5 material, 5 knowledge acquiring senses, and all the other parts which you have memorized, I think, for some exam, right? Yeah, so so while after analyzing all of this, they figure out that actually the soul does not belong to these 24 elements. It's transcendental. So once they start realizing that, then they say, okay, beyond this soul, there is Supreme Lord, Supreme Soul, Paramatma. So gradually they come to realize Paramatma. So of course, it's all research. They do research to get to this conclusion. It's not descending knowledge. They have to figure it out. That's why Sankhya Yoga is, that's one process. Then next one is, now he talks about Nishkama Karma Yogis.
Those who work without fruitative results are also perfect in their attitude. They are given a chance to advance to the platform of devotional service in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, remember in 12th chapter we discussed the different stages. Krishna says, if you cannot give your results to me, you at least give to some other cause. We see in that ladder, gradually they come to Krishna consciousness, right? Krishna says, eventually you'll get the taste to desire to come to me, or the different results he gives. So that's, you can connect that chapter to this one. The next one, he talks about meditation.
Here it is stated that there are some people who are pure in consciousness and who try to find out the super soul by meditation. And when they discover the super soul within themselves, they become transcendentally situated.
Yeah, so this Ashtanga Yogi is actually the goal of yoga, or the pranayama asanas, right? Pranayama is one aspect of Ashtanga Yoga. Yama, Niyama, Pranayama. There are, Ashtanga means eight steps actually. So generally Prabhupada always criticizes these days yogas, it's just gymnastics. But and then they go back and eat whatever they can eat, and it's about just somehow having some exercise kind of things, just about it. But actually he says the purpose of that yoga, Patanjali yoga, which Patanjali is given, actually is to realize the super soul. They should come to the stage where they realize the super soul. That's what is given again here. Yeah. So now we little bit understand from what Prabhupada is saying, how these three people come to understand super soul. Any questions or comments here?
So Mataji, just one question. I think maybe we discussed earlier. So whoever is meditating and they realize super soul, then what's next for them? That's done, or they have to come again to devotional service?
Yeah. So basically, yeah. Of course, attitude. Depending on the attitude, some people they think actually. We who are impersonalists, they think actually that is I. When they see the super soul or the 400 Vishnu form, they think actually it's me, because they want to merge. So they don't have a knowledge that super soul is different from me, who is within my heart. And for yogis who are like bona fide yogis, then when they see the super soul, they perform devotion service there. And if they are fortunate, if they come in contact with devotees, then they can advance further to do, you know, devotional service to Bhagavan stage. Because Paramatma is also part of Krishna. It's okay. They also reach Vaikuntha Loka. But otherwise, you can come to Goloka also, you know, if you can do more. It's, they are doing devotional service only. But I don't know how they do it, you know, because it's all mental. It's not through their, you know, activities, at least, you know, because they keep meditating and somehow maybe mentally they do the devotional service. I don't know how it. Yeah.
Rumor
realizes person. Yeah. Within and immediately appeared with outside also. Mm. Like that.
Mother, after realizing the super soul, they still have to do devotional service to go to it.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not that once you realize super soul, you are out of this body, right? So that is just not an instant thing. Like, you know, you realize super soul, but then you have to, rest of the life, you have to use in service to the super soul. Otherwise, you are falling down again. You will use it for sense gratification. So, like, for example, how we, right? We understand Krishna is Supreme Lord. So whole life, we have to engage in activities surrounding that, cultivating that attitude of service to the Lord. Otherwise, one moment we miss it, we are fallen down. Right? It's not like we can say, oh, I've realized Krishna now, I'm done. So service goes on even in the spiritual world, actually. No, I think one Sangeeta was asking, you know, here we chant Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 16 rounds we have to do. What do we do? You know, what do people do in Goloka? You know, are there any regulations for them?
I was asking, like, we are here, we are ignorant people, that's why you are teaching us. But there, no one is ignorant, right? Everybody is knowledgeable. What do you do there? Will you encourage that? That's when you will be part of the Leela of Krishna.
Yeah. And also that's what I clarified, that preaching is nothing but glorifying Krishna. Right? We are glorifying Krishna's transcendental position, how he is Supreme Lord, how he is taking care of devotees, all these things. That's what is preaching. Right? Just because we have forgotten Krishna's position, we are just enlightening others of Krishna's position. That is preaching. So same thing is happening in spiritual world. All the time we are glorifying Krishna. Like, remember that incident in Rasa Leela when Krishna disappeared suddenly, then gopis were all flustered. You know, what happened? Krishna is not there. So they couldn't handle the separation. So in order to cope up with that, what did they do?
They enacted all the
Krishna's pastimes. So one gopi acted like Putana, one gopi acted like Krishna, one gopi acted as Shakatasura. Like that, and they remembered and absorbed themselves in Krishna's pastimes, and then immediately they felt Krishna's presence. The separation went away. So that is preaching, glorifying Krishna's activities and always being absorbed, hearing. So seemingly they are hearing, they are doing dramas, all those things which we do, right? Or they are doing in much more pure way. So that's what happens. So devotional service continues. Actually, we are trying to become pure, but once we become pure, real devotional service starts. This is called actually probate bhakti. Probate bhakti means like bhakti in practice, kind of like. Practice, sadhana, that's why it's a practice. It's not like what we are doing is pure devotional service, actually. We are practicing to become pure. When we become pure, that devotion to the Lord is actually pure devotion. So that's what we need to come to. It doesn't mean.
Yeah, one thing I heard from Harivas Prabhuji's class, like, so once you are in pure devotion, it's not like after you give up your body, you directly go to Goloka.
Yeah.
Instead, because Krishna's pastime in material world also goes on for eternity. Like he was in this earthly planet, now he's in a different universe, but in the same pastime. So you become a part of that pastime in some different material world. Once you are like purified in that, like not purified, like you are part of this material world in association with Krishna, then next step is when you go to the spiritual world.
Yeah. That's what I heard from Indrabhima Maharaj lectures. He says, often he heard this. I think three births we have to go through, he said. Like, I don't know details, but we can figure out. Like, we can collect it, information. He was saying we'll be born where Krishna, in the Krishna's past, where Krishna's pastimes are going on, we'll be born there. And next birth, we'll be born from the womb of a gopi. So basically, Vajavasi. Even that also within the material, like one of the universes. And third, we'll go to Goloka. So we get practice of how to serve Krishna in that mood. Basically, you know, how to serve Krishna in that rasa of conjugal or madhurya, whatever, right? We don't have, that's like, you know, kind of like drama practice and then final drama, like that. Practice it here and then go there, like that. So that's
so something. Mataji and Bumbo, like, is it in a different universe?
Yes.
No, Bumbo Gopi in a different universe?
Any universe, whichever is, we don't know, it may be this also.
Okay.
Because we don't know when we are going to be born again, right? We don't know how long, it's not, I don't know whether it's immediate or, mostly immediate, but yeah. Yeah, okay, so we'll go to the next verse. Text number 26. Anyetva evam ajananta shrutva nebhya upasate tepi chatidrantyeva mrityum shruti parayanaha. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear about authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Okay, this is mostly us actually, you know, we are getting some concession. There is some, because we cannot do all these things, right? We cannot do meditation, we cannot cultivate jnana yoga, we cannot do without fruitive desires. We cannot do all this. But what we can do is, at least we can hear. When we hear, we can also come to realize the super soul. So let's read the fourth line. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness.
Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress. Especially, according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age, no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him and hear from him about self-realization and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee.
We can pause the problem. Yeah. So this is a very nice thing, no? Lord Chaitanya Prabhupada proposes, you know, if you just hear the chanting of the holy name or the transcendental knowledge from the devotees in the guru, in the parampara, and who are representing properly, then we automatically, that devotion will start awakening within our heart. So somehow, even if we don't have any qualification, if we just hear, we are beginning the process of devotional service. So that's a concession. So nice, right? And compare last verse to this verse. We have to, you know, we perceive super soul by doing meditation. We know Ashtanga Yoga, we discuss, right, one whole chapter. Jnana Yoga and then Nishkama Karma Yoga. And compared to all that efforts there, we just hear, and then eventually Prabhupada is saying actually, by taking shelter of that pure devotee, one immediately starts to, worship for the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. That means you will not have any doubt about whether to worship Supreme Lord or no, and you automatically start worshipping. So this is a very nice, very good fortune for us. Just by hearing, actually, we can make spiritual progress. And the other point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it doesn't matter where we are situated. We don't need to change our position. Like, you know, you be a grihastha, you be a brahmachari, you be, you know, working so and so. So it doesn't matter. Just be like that. Just start chanting and hearing about Krishna. That's all. Then make it Krishnaized. Then gradually you will, all your activities become more and more pure, and the whole life changes. And the main another point Prabhupada is saying is the shelter of pure devotee. That's also very important. And then the attitude of being servant. He says, you know, one should learn to become a servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. You know, that attitude of servant. Otherwise everybody wants to be master, right? So this beginning stage that, you know, okay, I want to be your servant. Now that attitude pleases, you know, humbles us. You know, I cannot learn, I am learning from somebody. You know, that is very pleasing to the Lord. This reminds me of the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam we were just recently discussing. This is the last verse in first canto, third chapter. I don't know the verse number. Don't know, you remember? Last verse. where the verse says that Suta Goswami is saying to Shaunaka Rishis, right? That's how the whole Bhagavatam starts. Shaunaka Adi Muni, they comes to Suta Goswami and they say, they did all the fire sacrifice and they said, you know, there was no use. It's just making our faces black with the smoke, but there is no benefit. They really wanted to do sacrifice for the benefit of Kaliyutta. So they did 1,000-year sacrifice actually. But they felt at the end, they were not getting any satisfaction and there was no results. So then they asked, they elected Suta Goswami and they said, you know, there should be something different, you know, can you tell us what is the right sacrifice in this age of Kali? Then Suta Goswami starts narrating Srimad Bhagavatam saying hearing about Krishna is the right way, right sacrifice in this age. And then at the end of third chapter, where third chapter establishes Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, that one verse is the Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsha. At the end, he says, Suta Goswami, this Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, who was self-realized soul, to Maharaj Parikshit. And in that assembly, in the bank of Ganges, there were so many sages. And among the sages, I was also there. So I also heard it with rapt attention when that discussion was happening. I heard it, not only had I heard it, I realized it. And now I am speaking it, whatever I have, as I have heard it, I am speaking it to you. Yata Aditam Yata Mati. That's what the phrase he says, you know, if you hear closely, this phrase keeps repeating, you know, many places, you know, there is. So he says, as I've heard it, I've realized it, and I'm speaking to you, he says. So in that, you look up this verse, actually. It's 1.3, last verse in that chapter. If you read the purport, last few lines of the purport, Prabhupada talks about rapt attention, remember? He says, so Sukadeva Goswami says, I have heard with rapt attention when Sukadeva Goswami told the Bhagavatam to sages. To Parikshit Maharaj. And because I've heard it, I've realized it, and I'm now speaking to you. So then Prabhupada elaborates on rapt attention. You know, what is the qualification to hear it from rapt attention? So he says, one can only hear from rapt attention only when one is pure in his mind. Imagine, you know, if you want to focus on hearing, your mind is wandering everywhere, obviously you don't have rapt attention. Rapt attention means you're absorbed, you're drinking every word, you're just in that moment. You're not, your mind is just there. So that means you're pure in mind. And the Prabhupada says, one can be only pure in mind if one is pure in action. And he says, one can be pure in action only when one is pure in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And one can be pure in, what, after that, did he say anything? I think that's all, right? Yeah. I think that's all, okay. Then after that he says, okay, this is still difficult, right? Then he gave concession. Yeah, this is very tough. Basically, this means the process of sadhana bhakti, one processes very sincerely, then one can come to hearing with rapt attention. But he says, regardless, somehow or the other, from the beginning, if somehow somebody hears in rapt attention from the bona fide source, the whole thing is begin. They are in the process of self-realization, he says. Okay, this is actually the whole mechanism that has to come, you know, one has to be pure in, yeah, sequentially he has to fix his eating, sleeping, mating, defending, then pure in action, pure in mind, and then rapt attention. But somehow or the other, by good fortune, some people have this good listening ability, right, somehow. Somehow or the other, if they end up hearing from a bona fide representative, the Srimad Bhagavatam, then that's all, that's good, enough to get them started, he says. So this rapt attention, no, we can figure out if we don't have focus. Sometimes we feel actually, you know, at work, I used to feel chanting, you know, somehow I can detect my mind was going. But I feel whole day I'm so focused at work, everything I'm getting it done. So I'm so focused. But actually that time also our mind is like that. We cannot detect it. Our mind is wandering everywhere and it's like so many things, unnecessary things. Maybe instead of solving it in a very direct way, we think about so many other ways and waste so many hours, then come back to the shortcut. So many things actually. But while chanting, we feel it's really wandering. I'm not able to control. But daytime, we feel, oh, I'm so focused at work. I'm so focused at doing all those things. But actually, that's what is happening whole day. So we have to work on this, you know, how do we become here with rapt attention. Any points? Have you noticed in your any things you want to share about how by hearing you have realized some things or how it helped you, the hearing process has helped you advance in Krishna consciousness? Of course, you know, this Bhagavad Gita we are doing hearing only, but otherwise also you might be hearing lectures and things like that, right? Slokas, Prabhu he often hears, Prabhu hears often, right? How is helping you?
Hearing Mataji, I am like kind of in hope. I'm going back to the same where I was. One day, if I don't hear some lectures, definitely I'm not in that state of consciousness. The consciousness is getting changed the very next day if I'm not hearing. So just last week, because like I was a little bit sick and all, I couldn't hear, and then I personally felt that something is very big is missing. So I again started hearing, even though it was 15-20 minutes, still it had like profound effect. You can immediately see the consciousness gets very elevated.
Very good. Yeah, very good. Yeah, if you have noticed it, that's very good realization actually. Yeah. Anything else anybody wants to share about your hearing practices? How is helping you or how?
When you hear, once it stays in there. Most of the time when we need it, it comes. But sometimes we feel when we are falling also, like when it's... sometimes we hear about the soul and everything. Most of the time we are able to, what I'm trying to say is sometimes when you are in action, there's something going on inside. Like it's, even though when you are seeing, when you are falling down, or when you are forced to do something, there is a distance you can always, there is something you are maintaining, and there's another voice kind of always like happening. There's a distance, so you don't fall in.
So basically, the knowledge you have acquired through hearing is helping you to detach yourself from the situations, even though. Yeah, that's exactly related to the points which Krishna is going to tell later. Now, what is acting is actually the body. Soul is not at all acting.
We can feel that. Even if it's sometimes we feel, you know, I'm doing this, I shouldn't be doing it, kind of. So sometimes, because sometimes when you get angry with someone or something, like, that's what happened. I got angry with them for something, and I'm like, I shouldn't be getting angry. But then you come back, again, go and listen to it, and Mataji said, the consciousness comes back, and then you are again, okay, back on track.
Yeah, so hearing helps us maintain our consciousness minimally, you know, and also it uplifts us, you know. Yeah.
This whole lecture and all this book and everything actually Prabhupada's mercy. In that way, like a beautiful story, very small story, where Prabhupada was in Malaysia, where a very like a rich affluent lady, she was like Prabhupada was asking her to build a temple, and then she was like, your mercy, like whenever you will have mercy. Then Prabhupada said, I have, my mercy is always there, you have to take it. So and that's when he saw like one person fell into a well. And then he started crying, help me. And then somebody came and put the rope. Help me to hold the rope. So basically, you have to do something, right? So that's when Prabhupada said, my mercy is always there. You have to step up to it. So God's mercy and their devotee's mercy. So for me, I kind of, in that sense, I related this whole thing is actually their mercy. It's my choice. If I'm listening, so I'm receiving that. If I'm not, then I'm basically denying.
Yeah, basically how eager we are and how much we are taking advantage, based on that attitude, Krishna will reveal actually, you know, this is all mercy and these are all so many ways in which, while living in this world, one can give all the excuses. Oh, there's so much sense gratification, so many opportunities, so many activities, you know, I'm so busy, I don't even have time to chant one round, what about 16 rounds? And so many excuses we can give, but if you have the desire, all the time is there to chant 16 rounds, do much, much more than that. Actually, desires.
One more thing, Mataji. So one thing that I've noticed, that with constant hearing, so when you are in misery, or when you hear some bad news of you, some relative dies in India or something like that, so now you are able to bring yourself back to normal faster than I used to before. So basically, you realize that, you know, this is what it's supposed to be, and, you know, and after constant hearing, it basically, you know, helps you know understand the higher purpose and let go of something.
So without knowledge earlier, we were lost, right? We're thinking, why always challenging, why this is happening. We didn't know what are the reasons. But now we know why certain thing happens to certain people, what is karma, all those things. We just now accept and somehow deal with the emotions, everything, and move on. That's a good point. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse, text number 27. Yavat sanjayate kinchit sattvam stavara jangamam kshetra kshetrajna samyoga tadvidhi bhartrishabha. O chief of the Bharatas, know that when whatever you see in existence, both the moving and non-moving, is only a combination of the field of activities and the knower of the field. So he is saying now, whatever we see actually is actually the combination of the living entities, field, knower of the field, living entities and the material nature. So we will see this, what Prabhupada says in the purport. Sixth line, without the touch of the superior nature, fifth, seventh, eighth.
Without the touch of the superior nature, the living entity,
nothing can grow.
Nothing can grow. The relationship between material nature and spiritual nature is eternally going on. And this combination is affected by the supreme law. Therefore, he is the controller of both the superior and inferior natures. The material nature is created by him, and the superior nature is placed in this material nature. And thus, all these activities and manifestations take place.
So remember, like, the way material nature starts, like pradhana becomes mahatattva, is because of the glance of the Lord. And through that glance, living entities enter actually her womb. She gets impregnated. So the moment living entities enter, then starts all, like, you know, as the Prabhupada says, as a tree gradually comes to bear fruits and flowers. Like that, material nature starts creating universes and everything. It's like that, due course of time. So like that. So what Prabhupada is saying is, the matter is inert. For it to do anything, to grow, living entity has to be there. So why is so, it should be very obvious for us, you know, we should accept it. Why is it makes sense, nor rather, what the significance of this statement is? Because there are some people who feel like this body is made of chemicals, there is no soul. There is one theory. This is more just made of chemicals, there is no soul actually. And the end of this body is end of it, that's all. So that's why let us enjoy as much as possible. So that's one philosophy. So for that he's saying, you know, how can then it's growing means there's a soul actually. Without spirit, how can it grow? Now we have seen a small baby body and different stages, right? So how it's growing means there is a soul actually. So that's the point. And the Supreme Lord is a controller of both natures, and he has placed the living entity in this material nature. Okay, so that's the some gist of it. We'll go to the next verse, text number 28. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tisthantam parameshwaram vinashyasta saminyashyantam yapashyati sapashyati. One who sees the super soul accompany the living individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. So there are two things. So now he's talking about the person who really sees, that means realized person. He sees that actually super soul is always accompanying the individual soul in various bodies, and also that the soul and the super soul are indestructible, even though they are, the body can be destroyed. So these two things one has to realize. So let's read few sections of the purport. Like, first, anyone who by good association
can see three things combined together: the body, the proprietor of the body or individual soul, and the friend of the individual soul, is actually in knowledge. Unless one has the association of a real knower of spiritual subjects, one cannot see these three things. Those who do not have such association are ignorant. They simply see the body and they think that when the body is destroyed, everything is finished. But actually, it's not so. After the destruction of the body, both the soul and the super soul exist, and they go on eternally in many various moving and non-moving forms.
We can pause there, Prabhu. So this is a fundamental thing. So the soul and the super soul, as the body, when the body is given up, they both transmigrate to the another body actually, both of them. Right? So what along with the soul goes the subtle body, the mind, intelligence and false ego. All the impressions, all the desires, everything is encapsulated, and with that, according to the karma, everything, you will get another body. Many, so we understand this, right? Super soul also moves
in many forms, in many various moving and non-moving forms.
Like trees, right? Non-moving, yeah, like that. All living entities, yeah.
Friend of the individual soul.
Super soul. It's the supreme friend.
Last time you mentioned that everything has soul in that,
right? Yes. Super soul, not soul.
Super soul, not soul.
Oh. This is super soul, but not soul. Okay, text number 29. Samam pashyam hi sarvatra samavastitam ishvaram nahinyasti atmanatmanam yato yati param gatim. One who sees a super soul equally present everywhere in every living being does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus he approaches the transcendental destination. Okay, so basically if we see that in every living entity, super soul is overseeing and permitting. In others also. He does not degrade himself by his mind. That means he doesn't actually unnecessarily become disturbed by others' actions. So when somebody acts towards us some other way, we don't see just that soul acting. Okay, this person, and you know, be grudgeful and vengeful and like, you know, why, how could you do that? How could you do this? Instead of that, we see super soul is somehow sanctioning and he is equal, neutral to everyone. And that super soul is guiding that person to act that way, is sanctioning it. So what is Krishna's will in this? In this action, what is the lesson for me to learn? That's how a devotee thinks. Instead of, you know, okay, I got this, this person did this, okay, I mark it in my book and, you know, after 10 years I'm going to get back to that person. Instead of doing all that, you know, all this materialistic way. So we see the super soul. We see the hand of the Lord, actually. We don't see, the devotees don't see super soul, we see Krishna. Bhagavan, know what is Krishna's will in this person doing like this. Thus he approaches the transcendental destination. So always by, in every action, remembering Krishna and being Krishna conscious like this, naturally he approaches transcendental destination. Right? Okay, let's read a few lines in the purport. If one can see presence of the Supreme Lord,
if one can see the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's the one, right? Personality of Godhead in every living thing, he does not degrade himself by a destructive mentality and he therefore gradually advances to the spiritual world.
Okay.
The mind is generally addicted to sense gratifying process. But when the mind turns to the super soul, one becomes advanced in spiritual understanding.
So this destructive, does not degrade himself with destructive mentality. So another advantage is when we can see the super soul, this exploitative mentality reduces. Now when we see as living entities, like, you know, my child, my wife, right? We think, okay, it's my object of enjoyment. But when we see super soul is there with them, so then we don't have the proprietorship over that, right? So we feel, so exploitative tendency, no, I can exploit them, I can dominate them, can be curtailed. No, that's one way, you know, we can help ourselves from getting degraded. Like, that's one way. I remember there was one incident where Radhakrishna Prabhu once, I know, long time back, I don't know, you don't even know how suddenly he said like that. Something happened, I was telling, you know, I fought with Prabhu or something and I was crying, like that I was telling him. Then he told, you know, you should not cry. He told like that. Then I felt, Prabhu, that's like outlet for me. When I cry, it's done, no? For me, it's good. I feel much better. Said, you should not cry, because if you cry, super soul will perceive it and he will have lot of, your Prabhu will get lot of reaction. He said like that, you know, because he feels pain, the super soul, then he will have faced lot of reaction, so you should not cry, he said. Let's see, you know, how come he said like this, suddenly I remember. So like that, super soul is in every living entity. No, if we can see that, no, super soul is perceiving and guiding that person, then, no, we will uplift ourselves. Okay, so text number 30. Prakrutyaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha yapasyanti tatatmanam akartaram sapasyati. One who can see that all activities are performed by the body, which is created of material nature, and sees that the self does nothing, actually sees. See, this is what I was referring to when Mataji, Prabha Mataji was telling, that one can see that all activities are performed by the body, you know, by basically by the under influence of material nature, but actually the soul is not doing anything, actually sees. It can be very contradictory also, this statement. So basically they see that they are aloof from all of this, you know, they are spirit, they are not, the all the things which the body is going through, it's nothing to do with the soul. No, whatever the pain, pleasures the body is experiencing, I don't need to identify with that. That's what he's saying, no? Stay aloof. Whatever pains and pleasures, like how Krishna says that summer and winter seasons come and go, right? Like that happiness and distress come and go. So it's just the body is going through it. But as a soul, I am completely transcendental to this. No, if we can situate ourselves in Krishna consciousness, we can see it actually. Okay, so we'll read this short purport.
It says, and sees that self does nothing. Actually sees.
So that means he is not the doer actually. So we'll come to it actually. Okay. Yeah, let's read the purport.
His body is made by material nature under the direction of the super soul. And whatever activities are going on in respect to one's body are not his doing. Whatever one is supposed to do, either for happiness or for distress, one is forced to do because of the bodily constitution. The self, however, is outside all these bodily activities. This body is given according to one's past desires. To fulfill desires, one is given the body, with which he acts accordingly. Practically speaking, the body is a machine designed by supreme law to fulfill desires. Because of desires, one is put into difficult circumstances to suffer or to enjoy. This transcendental vision of the living entity, when developed, makes one separate from body activities. One who has such a vision is an actual seer.
So basically this point, because of the desires, one is put into the circumstances of suffering and enjoyment. Like, because of my desires, I am somehow, but actually, one is separate from bodily activities. I am actually separate from these bodily activities. That vision. Vision means that realization. Of course, maybe you are talking about the seeing world, right? Two times seeing is coming. That makes, he sees that self does nothing, actually sees. So basically, he has that vision that actually, before talking about that one, well, let's talk. So this actually is similar to the verse which Krishna says, Prakrite Kriyamanani, right? Which verse is that? Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashahankara Vimudatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. 3.27 I think. Yeah, 3.27. There if you see, translation we can read there. Influence of the modes.
All ego things, himself, the doer of activities that are in actuality, carried out by the three modes of material nature.
Yeah, so basically the spirit soul, somehow influenced by false ego, thinks I am the doer. No, I achieved this, I did this, I cooked this, I made this. But actually it's all happening by the influence of, but carried out by the modes of material nature, right? You know, the body is made of three modes of material nature, or the elements, right, are influenced by three modes, and all the elements are more made of matter, like, you know, whatever the vessels we use or ingredients, everything is made of matter. So everything is actually done by three modes of material nature. So we cannot take the whole credit for whatever we have done. That's the point he's saying. So we are not, this verse 3.27 saying we are not the only doer. We are still the doer because it's our desire. That's what later on this purport Prabhupada is saying. Because of the desire. So some may question actually, if I am not the doer, why I have to suffer? That's a question people ask. Right? Even this first explanation, we said we are not the doer, right? So if I am not the doer, then why I have to suffer when I did a mistake, right? Or rather, you know, then in that case, I can sit idle or keep sleeping all the time. It doesn't matter. I'll get results, I'll get money all the time. I'm not doer anyway, right? That's also another type of explanation. The thing is, still we are responsible because of our desires, the whole thing works. That's the key, actually. The whole machine is, as Prabhupada is saying, the body is a machine. But the machine acts based on, you know, key, right? The key is the desire. Based on whether you desire Krishna conscious way or whether you desire sense gratificatory way, the results will be different and you are bound to face the reactions. We, you means you. So that's what it is. But still, even then, the soul actually is completely spiritual. That's what this verse is saying. Even then, even the soul is responsible for these desires and it has to face the actions and reactions, again, based on happiness and distress, still it's not made of matter. It's Sachidananda. It's spirit. That's why it's completely aloof actually. It's pure, completely pure. That's what it's saying actually. Though, because we are not made of this matter. is completely transcendental. Even though we may face all this, if we just accept that, you know, it's because of my desires, and somehow fix ourselves to desire properly, then first of all we stop the cycle. And the other thing is, even if it happens, you know, it's actually not this, of course, in a very high stage, you know, we cannot just act now, think like, keep thinking like that, even though my, you know, my leg is suffering or something like, no, I'm not this body actually, you know, it's keep going like that. We cannot do that. We have to do practically at our level what we can do. But we can see examples how Prabhupada, for example, in even its deathbed, he was translating. Have you seen that team video? He was holding a dictaphone and he said, that's my only service to my spiritual master. And he was so incoherent actually. Devotees took so much time to understand each word and write as a transcript, you know, the words. But he's just, till the last moment, he's just translating. So if you see, he's acting in the spiritual platform. But his body is so much pain actually. Medically, you can see that. But he's above all that. He's just focused on service to Krishna. So that's what it means, you know. We have seen so many examples like that. Even Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, the way he left, like, he had cancer, and then whole his leg was amputated. It was so much pain actually. But he's with Radhanath Maharaj, who is very dear friend to him. So he just asked towards the end, last few days, only him to be there. So he was just, Maharaj later, he gave a 5-hour session. If you're here, it's very good. 5-hour seminar, or rather, you know, lecture about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's pastimes, because he was such an intimate friend of Maharaj. He detailed everything towards that till the end, you know, how they both, how he was relishing the pastimes when they were sharing. He was crying all the time, his ecstasy, the big beaming smile, while his body is going through so much pain. So this is the example, you know, devotees are setting for us actually. You know, there is a way we can reach there. It's not all utopia, or rather all it's not for us kind of thing. No, when we have realized that stage, that I'm, we can also see little bit in our, at our level. Like, for example, at least I can share my realization. Like, sometimes, you know, whole day, every day is like normal day, right? With duties, existing, you know, things with kids, all those things. Friday also becomes like that, and the day becomes normal. But the moment somehow the kirtan starts and we are, you know, sharing this, it's a different mood actually, completely. And the whole thing lightens up. It's like, you know, oh, this is very special. It feels very special. It feels very, you feel very energetic suddenly. Usually Friday night, people want to sleep more or relax. But it feels, sometimes earlier actually, I couldn't sleep after the class. I was so active. I had to chant few rounds to become sleepy and then sleep. It's like that. No, it's so enlivening actually, you know. Then we can realize sometimes, even though we are tired, we are sick, when we talk about Krishna, the soul awakens suddenly. That's what we can experience. Anything you want to share here? Is it okay? This, it's clear to understand this one, right? Soul is still responsible.
Mataji, so desire is coming from the soul, right?
Yes.
But when body is doing that activity, the satisfaction is not
coming to the soul. Yeah.
Not coming to the soul.
Yeah. Means the soul is thinking, I'm actually enjoying, but it's not really touching the soul. It's thinking, it's just, you know, fleeting. It's thinking, oh, if I touch this soft thing, I'll be happy. If I eat this sweet thing, I'll be happy. That's what it's habitually, for a long time, it's thinking that's what is going to give him happiness. But it's not. That we have to come to realize that, okay, actually, these things are not going to give me happiness. So let me give the food for the soul. What is food for the soul? Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Prasad, association with devotees. That's when we really see, we are really satisfied. Right? We can see after some time, the activities of, you know, mundane talks with our friends and watching movies or mundane music, all those things now no longer satisfy the soul, us, because now we get the real nourishment for the soul, and we have higher taste and satisfaction. Anything else anybody wants to share? Yeah, I think that's so much I wanted to cover. Yeah, we are already on time. Yeah.
Mataji, can you share those links, the audio video links that you are discussing? The lectures?
Yeah. So today I said only about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj thing, right? Or anything else? That's all right. True. Other one was Bhagavatam thing. Srimad Bhagavatam.
Srila Prabhupada in his last stage.
I will see if there is a video. If somebody can take up this one, who can? Prabhu, you want to do this? Just Prabhupada's YouTube last final moments, if there is a YouTube link. And other thing is, if you search on ISKCON Desire Tree, Radhanath Maharaj lectures about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he gave a 5-day seminar. You just find that one, Prabhu can share. Thank you so much. Yeah. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Jai.